As most global markets are experiencing growth at the moment, we remain stuck in the economic quagmire. Ratings downgrades are now back in the picture as we really struggle to get out of first gear. The Rand's volatility continues, as we saw from the employment numbers. Jobs growth remains elusive. And all of this, combined with our low skill levels and declining productivity, really erodes the country's global competitiveness. Now, while the panacea to these challenges is obviously multifaceted and requires both public and private sector solutions, the appropriate application of modern technology is an important part of solving many of the problems that the country faces, and that's according to a new white paper released by Accenture. I think few concepts in professional life stir more ideas and emotion than artificial intelligence, AI. There are passionate differences of opinion about what it is, what it's capable of, whether it will simply destroy jobs or create them as well, and whether it can improve our human capabilities or perhaps even make them redundant. Well, I'm joined now by Wayne Hull, MD of Accenture Digital and Accenture Interactive Lead in Africa, to talk about the headline findings from this recent white paper. Wayne, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an exciting topic, and it has many myths, and it's good to be able to explore it with you.
Yeah, and I think the myths need to be exploded. And reading through the white paper, that is what you try and do. You try and add a rational voice to some of the sensational headlines out there. Let's start right at the beginning. From your perspective, how are you defining artificial intelligence?
So that's a great question. I mean, I think just generally, you know, artificial intelligence is often called by lots of people machine learning, which at its very simplistic level is really the intelligence that is demonstrated by machines and, you know, nothing more, nothing less than that. And then if you extend that to applied intelligence, and the applied really refers to when machines are able to mimic cognitive functions that humans traditionally would do, or, you know, that humans would do with other humans. And examples of those are learning and problem solving. So, you know, that's really what it boils down to.
And I was chatting to Benji Melter earlier on in the show about the way they're applying machine learning in the agri sector. So they're clearly very commercial applications already being rolled out in the market. The report looks at the channels of AI-led growth. What are the three main channels that you see AI leading growth in South Africa? Because in the report you've said that it has the capacity to actually double our growth.
Absolutely, you know, and I'll answer that in a second. But just stepping back, you know, why did we do this research that culminated into a white paper is, you know, there's so many myths around AI, and the positivities of it, I think, sometimes get lost in this myth. And we wanted to really explore, in the context of a country that has some, you know, struggling from a credit rating perspective, it's got volatile currency, it has lower contributions to the GDP overall. We wanted to see if the traditional economic spinners can continue as they are, i.e. agriculture, manufacture, mining, or whether there's a new catalyst like AI that can play a significant role in economic growth. And, you know, what is exciting is that we see over the next 20 years or so, actually the report reflects it by 2035, you know, that we could see AI contributing significantly to the economy. And as you rightly said, it could double our growth. And in fact, if you look particularly, you know, at the at manufacturing, agricultural, wholesale industries, I mean, you're talking about 1.4, 1.2, 1.1 percentage points respectively. So, you know, this is a significant opportunity waiting to be unlocked. And I think it would be negligent of us as business leaders and as a partnership between government and business to ignore this.
When we see the traditional growth model, you've got capital, you've got labor, and you've got all of those factoring in to your traditional growth model. Obviously, the concern in South Africa is how disruptive AI will be to the labor component of this. And a lot of the fear, I guess, and a lot of the myths is how AI might displace labor. But back to my earlier conversation I had with Benji Melter of Aerobotics, behind the technology, machine learning that they're using in drone technology, you've got drone operators. Those drones have to be manufactured somewhere. So it looks like it's a question of displacement rather than replacement.
Yeah, and I think that's accurately put. I mean, firstly, there is a myth around job loss. And I think AI-driven economic growth is not about replacing labor and capital, but much more about enabling that labor and capital to be used more effectively. And so therefore, AI should be treated almost as a third factor of productivity, you know, in a capital labor hybrid model. And I think that's where, you know, that's where the opportunity lies. Saying that, the world of tomorrow is not the same of today, and AI plus innovation is going to change things significantly, and therefore we do have to be ready. And in some ways, I think we have to be an AI-ready economy, and we have to get ready for an AI-ready future. And that requires, you know, industry leaders, government leaders to be sitting around the table and talking about how do we create this new area of the workforce, how do we prepare for that new area of the workforce, and how do we start reskilling people to be able to fulfill new roles, some roles of which we probably aren't even clear of today, but we know the fundamental building blocks around the capability, and we need to get ready for that. And in addition to that, we need to put regulation in place that will both stimulate and monitor this process. And if we don't take those proactive steps, you know, we won't be AI ready, and then we can't be surprised, you know, if we A, don't take advantage of this economic opportunity, and B, we don't fall all over ourselves and create a bigger problem than ever was thought about.
And you've, back to my earlier question, identified these three channels of AI-led growth. Can you just expand on what those channels are in practice?
Yeah, so I think the two, you know, the three key areas that we see the biggest opportunity for economic growth is manufacturing, agriculture, and retail. And I think that's where, you know, that's where a lot of the opportunity needs to be unlocked. And if you have a look at these industries today, if you take manufacturing, for example, I mean, there's already precursors to AI already being deployed in the manufacturing industry because of the Internet of Things, you know, and the integration of intelligent systems into the current manufacturing environment, you know, is already leading to change and to productivity efficiency. So we already see this taking place. And AI will be an extension of that for sure. You know, if you move into the agricultural industry, you know, you spoke of the company that you were referring to. I mean, there's some new initiatives in, you know, being able to utilize new technology to predict the success of crops, as an example, to be able to, you know, look at crops at a mass scale and compare that to other crops around the world, and to make probability and prediction insights from those comparatives and fusion of data, and that type of process will get smarter as machine learning is included in it, and therefore more insightful decisions can be made much faster, much quicker, and maybe decisions that, you know, that could result in fundamental changes. So, you know, those are some of the, you know, some of the precursors and future changes in manufacturing and agriculture, and you know, if you look at retail, you know, automation capabilities to be able to streamline inventory, as example, change warehouse managers, as example, and then the introduction of augmented reality technologies in the actual shop environment to provide a much more immersive shopping. And, you know, you include machine learning and applied intelligence to that, and you get a completely different retail experience plus very different retail efficiency opportunities. You know, those are the changes that we see in retail.
And in manufacturing in particular, we have a policy that is trying to drive manufacturing-led growth, reindustrialization through the various IPAPs. Our manufacturing sector has been in the doldrums for so long. And what I like about the opportunity here is that it doesn't require huge capital-intensive investment. One can use the Internet of Things and AI-powered systems to increase your return on invested capital. Your faulty machines, it might be able to pick up a fault earlier on. You can better utilize idle equipment through smart systems. So it's using your installed capital base far smarter than we are in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's, you know, there's two sides of that coin. I mean, firstly, significant money has been spent today in legacy technology systems, current to outdated business models, very bureaucratic corporate structures, sunk investment in sort of old infrastructure. So, you know, that is what's currently at play at the moment. And, you know, the opportunity, you know, moving forward is not to see AI in manufacturing as simply another productivity enhancer, let's say, but actually rather, you know, to see it as a new discrete factor of production and a tool that can transform our thinking about how to create growth and to leverage the investments currently that are made, but also to use that capital, whether it be CapEx or OpEx, in a completely different way.
Now, the challenges you've mentioned or alluded to, some of them clearly reside in the skills base that we have in South Africa at the moment, and whether or not our system is currently producing a workforce that can take advantage of this. Where else do you see the challenges for AI and perhaps being barriers to its potential to see us take advantage of this huge opportunity?
So I think the first one is just, you know, generally South Africa currently has a very slow rate of digital adoption. And AI is very much the new of the new. And so if you have slow digital adoption in more of the new technologies that are becoming already mainstream in other parts of the world, you know, the likes of that are around e-commerce, digital commerce, AR, VR, cloud, some of the security as examples. I mean, those are all becoming mainstream. So if digital adoption is slow in South Africa relative to Europe and the States, that is a big hindrance in terms of the industry embracing AI, and I think that's sort of the first hurdle, is how do we accelerate digital adoption in South Africa? And then I think the second hurdle is mindset. You know, so we always talk about a digital first mindset in the new world that we're living in, and if we don't, as industry leaders, business leaders, government leaders, have a mindset that says AI is an economic opportunity, let's unlock it. You know, if people ignore it or we're too bureaucratic to sort of embrace it, then that's a second hurdle in the fact that we'll never get to setting up the right environment for it. And then I think the third hurdle is, you know, this is not a government opportunity. This is not a business opportunity. This is a joint opportunity. And you know, in the context of our political, social, economic landscape, to put this on the agenda as well for government business to talk about together is obviously complicated, and we have to find ways to sit around the table and to be able to broker new ideas and new regulation around this. And if we don't, that will be another hurdle.
Even though it is a partnership approach, as you alluded to, and both the private and the public sector need to embrace this, I see a massive opportunity here for the South African government, which is highly indebted and many would agree quite bloated at the moment, to use AI to really transform public services. If you look at what's going on in the UAE, they've been quite an early adopter of AI-enabled intelligent automation in the public sphere. And it's the first country in the region to embrace e-government, which is all about cutting government spending. And if you look at our government spending at the moment, it's one of the key issues that the ratings agencies are looking at. So if we start talking e-government in South Africa, we can lay the foundations now to help rein that in over time.
Correct. And I think they are government models to look at that are ahead of us or very aspirational. I mean, the UAE is a great example. They've actually recently announced a minister for AI. They've also created government-funded centers of excellence, so they definitely are ahead. I mean, Singapore is also one of those models which are good to look at, and there are some emerging models evolving as well, which I think are also important to look at. So there are models for us to look at and to take some level of guidance, say, from. So that's the first thing. And then I think the other is to say, okay, well, you know, as part of the current mandate that the new president has placed on us, if you have a look at the Industrial Commission that he's launched, you look at the Mining Charter, the new Mining Charter's example, I mean, these are platforms for us to start, you know, having new discussions around this and new regulation. If you have a look at the YES program from the skills perspective, another platform. So the platforms are being created, and I think we have to lean forward and embrace them and get into it and see the opportunity that's ahead and dispel the myths, because if we get clouded by the myths, we'll lose sight of this double the growth opportunity that AI can bring.
Now, what are the next steps then for policymakers and for business leaders from here to ensure that we do dispel the myths and we can take advantage of this?
So I, you know, I think at a simplistic human level, dialogue is probably the most important first step. And, you know, AI is a boardroom discussion in business. It's not a technology discussion. It's not an IT discussion. It's a boardroom discussion. And I think AI needs to be placed you know, at the boardroom table, on the boardroom agenda, and being spoken about from a C-suite perspective. And then in government, I mean, we have to, I suppose, create opportunities to have discussions as part of these new platforms that have been set up by the new president, and to make sure that, you know, us, for example, as Accenture, as a leader in AI, that we participate in those dialogues and bring the best of the best from around the world so that South Africa can learn from it. And I think that's an important step. And the second step is then to actually start. So not to talk, but actually to start. And the way we start is to choose a few use cases or processes in these different industries and actually build proof of concepts and pilots, you know, with our clients, with industries, and to prove the ROI and to get that ROI, you know, up and running so that that can then scale and bring massive efficiencies.
Yeah,
and so dialogue first and let's start second. And let's do it at speed.
At speed, exactly. The one thing we can't do is continue just to talk and plan. We're masters at that, far less equipped to execute, it seems. So hopefully we can turn that around and start to make these fantastic opportunities of doubling economic growth lift off of paper models and into the real world. Wayne, very interesting talking to you and reading through the white paper. I'd encourage listeners to go and download a copy, as it provides an excellent executive summary of the potentials and the barriers and also the way forward. Take care.
Thank you for having me on the show.
That was Wayne Hull, MD of Accenture Digital and Accenture Interactive in Africa, talking all about the opportunity to double economic growth by 2035 using artificial intelligence and machine learning.